2 Corinthians 5, and I want to read verse 7. Let's start with verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And this is a scripture I want to focus on. It's verse 7. Let's all read it together. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I want to talk to you for a few moments about walking by faith. Walking by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. You can be fooled by the things you see, because most of what God does in the spirit realm is controlled by things that you can't see. If you try to live your life by just the tangible, just by what you know, you're going to live a very shallow existence in God. If you just live by what you can touch with your hand, the pews in front of you, you're going to live a life of frustration oftentimes. Because there is those times that God requires a church, a body, a believer to step out by faith. To walk by faith. To trust Him. Amen. The trust issue in some people's lives is a greater issue than others. But I'm here to tell you that when you choose to walk by faith, God will not fail you when He has spoken the word of faith and the word of direction to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it tells us in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen. Everyone say, are seen. That's not what we look at. Don't always get caught up in looking at the things you can see. Someone tonight, Sir Misty, talked about the pile of bills. Every now and then, you got to take your eye off the pile of bills, Brother Terrell. Hallelujah. And every now and then, you got to take your eyes off of whatever's just mocking your faith. If it be a lost family member, and you can't always hear the rejection they give you and the words of discouragement and the bitterness that comes from their human spirit. You got to hear past it. Every now and then, you got to just close your eyes and see them standing in these altars, speaking in tongues, breaking through in the Holy Ghost, and get a hold of that vision of faith until it comes to pass. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Because the things which are seen are temple. Everyone say temple. You know what that means? If you can see your problem, if you can describe your problem, Gene, then breathe a sigh of relief. It's going to pass. It can't stay. But it's the things that are not seen, that's the things that are eternal. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the peace that God gives, even when you're in the midst of the storm. And you may not be able to see it in the natural. You may not be able to understand it, but you know that you know that you know that you know God's going to come through. You know that God's in control. You know that He's the master of the wind. He's the master of the storm. And that He is going to provide, and He's going to do the work. But you got to look away. Somewhere, you got to look away from the things that are seen. You got to look at the things which you're not seeing. Someone once said that faith looks away from the impossible and sees the invisible. Faith looks away from the impossible and sees the invisible. Now, I can't see the invisible when all I'm doing is fussing and worrying and trying to make it happen and do it my own strength. Somewhere, I got to steal away in prayer. And there, Brother Markworth, in prayer, God can give me a vision of faith. There in prayer, God can show me the way He sees it. The way, and let me tell you something, God doesn't always see your situation the way you see it. Hallelujah. Now, I know you want to try to convince God how it is, but every now and then you got to just close your mouth and open your ears and your heart and say, God, show me the way it really is. Hallelujah. That's what the prophet did. He came and he brought that letter that old Sanballat and Tobiah wrote and said, we're going to do this, this, and this. And he says, okay, Lord, this is what they say. Now, what do you say? What's your opinion on this, God? I want a second opinion. Maybe some of you are sitting here tonight and you got a bad report. You got a bad report on the job. You got a bad report in your finances. You got a bad report in your health. It's time to hear the report of the Lord. It's time to get a second opinion. It's time to hear what thus saith the Holy Ghost. And I got news for you. God doesn't see it the way man sees it. Oh, praise Him. Job couldn't see it the way God saw it. Job, all he heard was his friends. Their negative doubt and fear. Walking by what he could see. They beat him down. And Job, if you're so righteous, why are you sick? If you're such a godly man, why has this happened to you? And finally, Job started crumbling under the pressure and the weight of the negative all around him. Until he heard from God. Until God says, come here, Job, let me show you from my view. Let me show you from where I'm at, what's going on. And you see, Job couldn't see it at that time. His body was covered with boils. He'd lost his family. He'd lost everything he owned. His own wife turned on him and said, just curse God and die. His own friends couldn't believe that he had not done anything to merit what he was going through. But he sat there in the midst of that darkest trial, and boom, revelation came, and he stood up and said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand on this earth. And God said, come here, Job, let me show you what's going to happen down the road. Let me show you what I'm fixing to do to this world in times to come. He said, though the skin words that I destroy this flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You can't speak those kinds of words walking in the flesh. You can't speak those kinds of statements. You got to get in the Spirit. You got to get in the spirit of prayer. You got to get in the spirit of faith. That's where God can give you an infusion. And He can show you from His view what He's doing. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. I like to get around people that walk by faith. Amen. You know, Don't stick me in some conference somewhere next to some preacher that's going to sit back, his legs crossed, and still got the toothpick from Applebee's stuck in his tooth. Oh, come on, somebody. Sitting back there in all his pompous piety. He's got his legs crossed, and oh, bless him, Lord, when someone's out there worshiping God. Oh, touch him, God. You know, get me down next to someone that's going to be talking in tongues all the time. Get me next to someone that's going to be rocking in the Holy Ghost and swaying and oh, come on, somebody. But that's the kind of people that walk by faith. That's the kind of people that can infuse your faith. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise Him. I appreciate these young people sitting up here up towards the front in the front row. That's where you belong. Don't start creeping back. Because then you see all the people that's not worshiping. Then you see all the people that's sitting there and eating their gum and chewing their candy and you know, popping their pills during church. You don't think I feel that stuff? I'm not blind. Come on now. Hallelujah. I can remember a sectional rally when I was a kid we went to one time. And I kid you not, my brother and I, we were sitting towards the front and was towards the crowd. And we got the biggest kick. Because there was a sister in the second row. Every now and then she'd look around and she'd open her purse and she'd reach down and she'd pick it up and nibble it. She had a chicken wing sitting in her purse. I'm not kidding you. And she was snacking. I mean, the stuff we bring in the house of God. Got McDonald's French fries sitting in the pew. What? How did McDonald's French fries get in the house of God? The stuff we bring in here. When you get down here towards the front and you're worshiping God, you don't see all that mess. You can lift up Jesus. You can praise Him. I didn't one of these days, Brother Terrell, I'm going to design a church that's just all one big front row. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just kidding. But you know, down there you've got to put blinders on and just say, you know, I came for a blessing. I didn't come to see so-and-so that owes me money. Don't look at that junk, because then you see them worshiping God, and you think, why are they worshiping God? Man, they owe me money. Well, come on now. Help me out. Why are they down there praising God? Get your eyes off that junk. Get your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's some people that, you know what? Don't tell them your dream. Don't go tell some negative ninny what God spoke to you in prayer. You know what? I know we don't got none of them around here. But these people that got to sit on all the time and just say, they just don't know. I don't know about all that spiritual stuff, all that fasting and praying and hearing God's voice and all that faith stuff and all that junk, you know, all that, you know. That's how we are. You know, that's how we are sometimes. I mean, someone come in here and say, you know, I had a spot in my lung and I went to the doctor and he says cancer and God took it away. God did what? Yeah. Now, come on. Hello, somebody. Get around somebody that knows how to worship God, that knows how to say, hey, you know what? If God said it, I believe it, and that's it. Hallelujah. If His Word stands for it, I stand on His Word. I don't care what happened to Aunt Sally. I don't care what happened down at this church or what this preacher did. But God's Word says stands true forever. Oh, come on and praise Him. You got to avoid these. I call them destroyers of faith. Don't share your dreams to them. Don't tell them. Find someone who's full of faith. Someone who walks in faith. And share with them your dreams. There came a time when Israel was besieged. And it was bad. And Elisha came and said, thus says the Lord. Hear the word of God. I don't know if God can speak. Always saying God told him. So I don't know about all that stuff. You know. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And then the Bible says, then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And his problem was, he was eating too many donkey heads and dove dung. You've been dining on donkey's heads and dove's dung, you get to liking the taste of it. Oh, come on, somebody, help me out now. That's what they were eating. They're besieged. Come on. Oh, some people, they come to church and they can't worship God. They've been dining on a donkey's head. Come on, somebody. Sitting around and they just get to smelling like it. Hallelujah. Donkey's head seven ways. Boil it, bake it. Come on, somebody. And they come in the house of God. You try to have some joy. They're like, what's wrong with him? Why is he down there making all that noise? I wish he'd be quiet. I wish you'd change your diet. I mean, when you're feeding on junk, when you feed on negative all week long, you feed on just junk and negative and doom and gloom and what's wrong and what's bad and all the gossip of the town, you can't come in the house of God and enjoy a little morsel of blessing. But when you've been feeding on the Word of God, when you've been feeding on the presence of God, when you've been spending time alone with God, you can come in here and you can say, oh, the worship tastes good tonight. Oh, the preaching of the Word, it's like a tasty morsel. And you can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. God opened windows in heaven. Saw some of you eyebrows go up. Mm-hmm. I talked about the sanctuary we're going to build over here. Go ahead, cock your eyebrow. I might just get out and pour a foundation on you, old. A little carcass. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Help me out. Hallelujah! I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah! God opened the windows of heaven, it might be. But the man of God came and said, you know what? You'll see it, but you won't enjoy it. You'll see it, but you won't enjoy it. You know the story? God calls the Syrians to hear the sounds of chariots and many horses. And they get up and they flee. There's a bunch of old lepers sitting out there. One's got a ear missing, a nose missing. Well, they smell ripe. And they're starving. And every day they creep up to the garbage dumps on the outside of the Syrian army, just in case someone threw out a McDonald's hamburger or a French fry or something. Yeah. Come on, lepers. Sit on the front where you get to be a leper. Come on, Brother Seth. Come on. Aren't we a motley looking crew? Bunch of lepers here. We're hungry. Are you hungry? See, I'm hungry. How hungry are you? You look hungry. Are you hungry, Caleb? Oh, I know Caleb's hungry. I gotta ask him. Hungry! And they come creeping up. Come on, lepers. We're going to go check out the garbage dumps of the Syrians. They come up, and all of a sudden, that old mean Syrian that had the dog, just stick his dog on us, he's not over there no more. I look in there, and something's wrong. So there's no sound of the singing. Or there's no instruments. There's no talking. Come on, let's go in there and check out the camp. So they come on. They go in the camp, and lo and behold, everybody's gone. And there's whoppers, supersized. Come on, somebody. Am I getting you hungry yet? There's big old giant double crust Domino pizza sitting there. Ice cream milkshakes, and Hershey candy bars. It's just all sitting there for the taking. And they sit down and they start eating. And they just shoveling it in. Go ahead, start eating. But then, the Lord smites their heart because they realize here they are enjoying more food than what they could ever wish to have. While people, just a stone thrown away, are starving. And one of them sits up and says, we do not good. We're not, how can we sit here and enjoy all of this when there's a city that's starving? I tell you what, church, sometimes we come in here and we enjoy the, thank you, amen. We enjoy the blessings of God. We enjoy the touch of God. We enjoy the presence of the Lord. And I appreciate all that. But we can't look. God forbid that we sit here and be comfortable. That we sit here and just get a good blessing and go home and talk about what a great service. While people stand within a stone's throw of this church. And their lives are in ruins. Their lives are broken. Their lives are destroyed. They said, you know what? We got to go. And the lepers get up. And they go back into the city. They tell them, all the food you can eat is waiting for you just out there in the camp. So they sent out some messengers to check it out, and sure enough, and you know the story. The man that spoke against the prophetic word of God from the men of God. The man that rose up and said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He was put at the door to hold the gate. The Bible says that people went forth with such force, they trode on him and stomped him until he died. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost tonight, there is a word of faith going out before this church. And God wants us to catch hold of it with both of our hands. not walk with it by sight, by carnal reasoning, by logical, trying to break it down, but say, God, we're on a timetable of the miraculous. God, you've got us on a time. It's not time for us to coast, church. It's not time for us just to float on in. We haven't done near enough. We haven't reached near the souls. We need to reach in this city. Church, it's time to move forward in the Holy Ghost. It's time to see. I'd like to see 100 people get the Holy Ghost before this year is through. I believe God can do it. I don't want to sit here and just enjoy God's blessings. I believe that God is getting ready to pour His Spirit out in a measure like He's never done before. Oh, can you praise Him right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you feel like you've missed a turn, sometimes God has to take you back to the miracle that you had before to take you forward into something greater. And I feel in the Holy Ghost that's a word for someone here tonight. God is fixing to take you back into a miracle of old that He can launch you into a greater miracle in the power of His Spirit. Well, lift your hand and say, God, do it in my life. Do it in my life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John 4 that Jesus came to a city of Samaria. And He said He must needs go through Samaria. God likes to go back to where He's welcome. Sometimes you got to go back to some things in the Holy Ghost to find out what you missed. If you feel like you've missed your way, if you feel like you've lost your edge, you feel like somehow your prayers have lost their power, or your passion for God has waned, or your thirst for the things of God, you may not have to retrace your steps too far to find where you missed the turn. God can bring a renewal back to you. 2 Kings 6, you find the prophets. The sons of the prophets were going and they were getting ready to expand their living place because the place was too small. It was too straight for them to dwell in. So they went and they borrowed an axe from someone in the city. And they went and they began to cut down trees. And you read it in 2 Kings 6 and verse 6, verse 5. And as one was filling a beam, the axe head fell in the water and he cried, "Alas, master! It was borrowed." It must have been very deep water that they couldn't retrieve it, Brother Jonathan. What happened? They lost their edge. The prophet didn't say, "It's okay. We'll go. We'll speak the word of faith and God will bring another edge." No. When you've lost your edge, He said, go back to the place where you lost it. Go back to the place where you missed the turn. And that's where you'll find your miracle. That's where you'll find that God can bring renewal back into your life. Get back to the place where you lost what you had. Amen. You went back. You cut the stick. Threw it in the water. The Bible says the axe head. Iron swam for the first time in the history of man. All because you went back. I'm talking to someone in the Holy Ghost right now. You've been wondering why things are going haywire. You've been wondering why you've been wandering in a desert. It's time to get back to the place where you lost the passion, the desire, the edge. Lift your hands to God over this building. God, help us. Renew us, God. Renew us, God. Renew us. Renew us. Renew us. Renew us. Hallelujah. 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 We must walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not going to preach long. In fact, I'm going to close. Hallelujah. You may not be able to fully understand sometimes the way God takes you. And sometimes as humans, we just want to know everything. We want to know what's the result going to be. But if you're trying to find God's will tonight for your life, one of the best ways to find God's will is to begin by having no will of your own. Just saying, God, whatever you desire, whatever your will is. And once you've cleaned the slate of your heart, once you've taken whatever preconceived ideas, whatever steps you've tried to manipulate by walking in sight, and you're ready to walk by faith, then you must be willing to commit to God's will, even before you know what His will contains. You must be willing to commit to God's purpose. Many people say, you know what, what's in it for me? Show me the contract. Show me what I'm going to get out of this. No, my friend, it's not a walk of faith. You're walking by sight. You're walking in the flesh. But when you get to the place in prayer, the place in brokenness, the place in submission, where you can truly say, not my will, but thy will be done. And you're walking in the Spirit. You're taking a step in the right direction. Hallelujah. I've never known one time that I've followed the drawing of God, that I followed what I felt in the Holy Ghost, and ever regretted. But I know countless times I've grieved the Holy Ghost, and I forgot what that tugging in my spirit was saying. I pushed aside the conviction and the drawing of God, and I went with just some natural knowledge I had, because I wanted to be safe. You're never safe, my friend. You're never safe. We walk by faith, not by sight. You see, if you got to be in control of everything, if you got to be the one in control of your life, if you got to be on top of everything, then you can't be led of God's Spirit. There are times that you don't know what God is doing. But what a joy to learn His voice, to know it. I remember in the summer of 1993, the first year I was in Ethiopia, I was so overwhelmed by the move of God in that country. And we had driven for probably 7.5 hours to get to the crusade site. And this was long before the revival broke loose in that region of Ethiopia. The first year we were there, they had the crusade as far south in the middle of an open field as they could to try to get away from the soldiers and those that would try to stop the crusade. And they literally had this crusade in the middle of nowhere. It was a dirt road that led to an open field that there was just probably 30, 40,000 cows in that field. We had no PA, no platform, no covering, no water, no electricity, nothing. But an open field with about 40,000 people standing, hungry for God. I'll never forget, we were sleeping in these little huts. That's all I could call them. They were mud walls, grass roof, just huts with little cots. And we had flown close to 27 hours with some layovers to get there. Had very little rest at night and then drove 7 more hours on dirt roads. I was so tired. That cot looked like a king-size bed to me. I was so happy to be out of this little bus that was hot, full of dust. You've been there. And you're going to be there again. Amen. And I'll never forget that night when I lay down and I fell asleep. And possibly an hour later, the terror, I was awakened by the still small voice of God just impressing me. See, if you're waiting for God to come with a booming voice, lightning and thunder, shake you out of your... God doesn't operate that way. Earthquake hit, God wasn't in it. The lightning flash, God wasn't in it. The fire burned, but then the still, small... God's a gentleman. God's not going to force you. God's... People come to me and say, God's been giving me nightmares every night, and my stomach's been torn. No. That's most likely the enemy tormenting you. God don't torment his children. God will gently persuade you. He'll gently speak to you. And one way you can know God's voice, God speaks something today, he don't change his mind tomorrow. I got people come to me and say, God told me, and a week later, they forgot what God said. Well, it probably wasn't God. Most usually, if it's God, he'll keep talking until you give in. He'll keep knocking. He'll keep gently persuading. Gently reaching. Hallelujah. And most usually, if something comes to me from God, and I'm not sure if it's God, I just wait. I wait a day or two. Because he'll come back again. He'll say it again. He'll confirm it through some other witnesses. Amen. I remember he spoke to me that night, and I opened my eyes. I didn't know where I was at. There was probably over 100 huts scattered over probably a good 20-acre area. And it was partly forest, partly jungle. It was just the indigenous part of Ethiopia. God spoke to me and said, I want you to go to Tekfimarian's hut. He has some things he's going to tell you. And he's going to talk to you about this vision. This church needs to have Tekfimarian Gezahegan in his pulpit. He is the general superintendent of the Apostolic Church of Ethiopia. He's a man that I revere as an apostle, a man of God, a man that through prayers and faith and faithfulness has seen a church grow from about 1,000 members to 2.5 million. Amen. I'm going to be seeing him in about 3 weeks. I'm going to twist every arm he has to get him to St. Joseph. Amen. And I know he'll come. Because I've given close to 11 years of my life in time to Ethiopia. I don't know if I ask him to come. He'll come. But he needs to pray in this church. He needs to pray over you. We need to have a prayer meeting with him. Amen. I can remember the first night I'd ever met him. I'll give it that later. So I sat up in that bed, that cot, and I said, God, okay, I don't know where he's at. I don't know which one of these 100 or so huts he's in. There's no lights. I remember getting up and I slipped on my shirt and some pants and my shoes, and I slipped out the front door of that hut and stood there and looked, and there was a guard standing there with a rifle in his hand, AK-47. They have to guard our huts from thieves and muggers. Amen. I just lost half of you. I've never had an incident yet. I've never had a problem. And I said, excuse me, do you know where Tekfimarian? And he spoke back to me on Amharic, and to this day I don't know what he said. So I knew there's no hope there. But I stood there and I thought, this is in my flesh. This is crazy. There's no way I'm going to know where Tekfimarian is. It was night when we got here. We went straight to the room they pointed out. And I don't even know what the layout of this place is. But I stood there. I just closed my eyes. And I said, God, you're going to have to show me where this hut is. And all of a sudden, just still small voice of God. Just begin to direct. I can't say it was an audible voice or a word. It was just, I felt impressed to walk down this side path. And I walked down it about 50 yards. And I came to a place where it split this way and this way. And I just felt to go to the right. I walked down that path. And I came to another path that split two ways. And I felt to go to the left. And I walked down that path for another about 70 yards. And then I came to a place where it split four ways. And I just felt to take the center path. I walked down that path. And I came up to a whole row of about 10 huts. None of them had lights on. They all looked the same. I just felt drawn to this one hut. And so I slipped up to it, and I felt foolish. I felt like, you know, my mind was screaming at me saying, you don't know what you're doing. This is nuts. This is crazy. That's just how your mind works. The natural man is enmity against the Spirit of God. You'll always battle your flesh. You'll always battle. Most of the time when God speaks, it's the first voice. The second voice is you. All right? And I slipped up there. And with a step, I just kind of real lightly tapped on the floor. Just in case someone was asleep, they never hear me. And I'll never forget as I stood there. And suddenly, Pekka Marine called out. Come in, Brother Octavia! I have something to tell you. I stood there, and I thought, oh! I wasn't excited, I was scared. I'm not a macho man. I mean, nothing ever happened like this in my life. I slept in, he'd been sitting up in his bed. He said God had spoke to him 30 minutes earlier. I was coming. He said, sit there on the floor. And for 6.5 hours, from 12 o'clock midnight until 6:30 in the morning, he talked to me. He prayed with me. He talked about things I wish I could tell you. Right now you can't bear them. You still think I'm a wacko because I talk about little things of faith. Hallelujah. Talking about persecution. And he prayed over me. Spoke some words to me. I set out to say this. You got a choice, church. Living a meaningless existence. Just going through the motions of what you've always done. You do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. Or you can step across the threshold of faith into a dimension of God. And you can pray and say, God, lead me by your Spirit. Guide me. Let me be led of you on my job. Draw me to pray to talk to someone about you, or to pray for somebody, or to leave a tract with someone, or a flyer, or something, or whatever. God can lead you. I want to be a Spirit-led child of God. Is that how you feel? Would you stand? I remember the next year, Tecla Marion had been very sick, and Nicole asked me to sleep in his quarters in case he might have needed something during the night. I remember Brother Joshua. I laid down on a thin mat on the floor in the corner. He was on the cot that was in that room. And every night he went to bed with his Bible. He read it until it fell to his chest open. I remember as I was just drifting off to sleep, all of a sudden I heard some noise and I woke up. I thought he was talking. I thought he was talking to me. And I leaned up, and it dawned on me, he was fast asleep. This is the kind of stuff that molded my life. I can't help but be who I am. This stuff will change you forever. Remember, I was set up in that room, and he was fast asleep for the day. He was talking in tongues. He talked in tongues in his sleep all night. I remember sitting there with tears just running down my face. I felt so small. I felt so carnal and inadequate. But I said, God, I want to know you. I've lived such a shallow Christian life. I want to know you. And I measure. And God said, yes, you can know me. But are you ready to be broken? Know him in that measure. You got to be broken. In closing, let's just all come to the front. Let's lift our hands to God. Let's offer our lives as living sacrifices. As you say, Lord, I don't want to walk in the flesh. I'm tired of walking.